Welcome to Hope Is Here. My name is Greg Horn, and today's guest has been a good friend of mine for over 20 years, and his name's going to be familiar to a lot of you here in Central Kentucky because he served on staff at Southland Christian Church as a teaching pastor when Mike Breaux was the lead pastor. Rusty George is our guest today, and for the past 17 years, he has been out west as the lead pastor at Real Life Church in Valencia, California, where they have just had tremendous growth there, have started several church plants, have satellite locations. And in fact, it's amazing, but Real Life actually just celebrated their 20th anniversary. Rusty's written several books. He's got a great podcast that you need to check out, and also has a weekly blog, so I want to encourage you to check all those out. We'll have information for you to get on those after our program here today. But we're going to be talking about Rusty's new book that just came out called After Amen, What to Do When You're Waiting on God. Rusty, thanks for joining us today. Before we talk about your book, I know that you are a lifelong Lakers fan, and they just won a championship, and, of course, a lot of Kentucky connections on that team. So congratulations to your Lakers, man.
Well, thank you so much, Greg. First of all, it's an honor to be on the podcast again. And as you and I were reminiscing before the call, I remember when I was at Southland, our good friend Cameron Mills said that he had a buddy that was his roommate named Frank, who had been on the David Letterman show. And I'm a huge Letterman fan, so I thought that would be so good. And he'd been on the show to do his stupid human trick, which was to spin a basketball on the end of a toothbrush when he was a kid. And so we had him come in, and we showed the clip of him doing that. And then he got up on stage and did that little trick for us when he was, you know, probably 19 years old now. And went on to great success there as an assistant and following Coach Pitino and O'Brien around. And now he's the coach of the Lakers and got a championship ring. And so I'm really happy for Frank Vogel and for all the other UK players like Rondo and AD. And Boogie missed out on it this year, but maybe next year. And just a really, really cool experience last night to watch that happen.
Well, I mean, you've been out in California now. You celebrate that 20th anniversary. I mean, does it seem like you've been out there that long? I mean, I couldn't believe when I just saw you recently celebrated that.
I know. It's just so surreal. I've been here 17 of it. The first two were with Kyle Idleman, who's now up in Louisville. And, you know, he just did a great job getting it started. And then there was about a year in between us, and I came out and, you remember, we were still meeting in a movie theater, and we did that for about 7 total years, and then 3 years in a high school, and now 10 years in a building, and it's just been a wild ride. And no, I mean, in some ways it feels like, you know, I've been here 50 years, just because, you know, how ministry is, it can kind of wear on you. But in other ways, it feels like we just moved here, and I still haven't lost my Kentucky accent, unfortunately. People tease me all the time for saying y'all, and having too many syllables and words, but you guys had that big of an effect on me in my 9 years I was there.
Well, let's talk about this new book, man. I've got a copy of it, an advanced copy, and just really, really was blessed by it. And I love just how you address that topic, you know, what do we do when we're waiting on God? And in the first chapter, just straight out of the gate, you just kind of cut to the chase. And the title of the chapter was, "Hello, is anybody out there?" And, man, we just all kind of felt like that sometimes, don't we, in our prayer life?
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, you know me, Greg. I'm not really a pessimist or an optimist. I'm just kind of a realist. And what I noticed a lot about books on prayer is, first of all, most of them were so overly optimistic. If you didn't walk away from there and pray for a lottery ticket and win the big one, then you weren't doing it right. And I felt like some of those prayer books kind of discouraged me because I didn't see some of the things that other people had. And then a lot of the books really were about how to pray or what to say when you pray, but not really what to do after you pray. And so I felt like there was a void there. And what I was noticing was I would stand in the lobby and talk to people after messages, and they'd tell me their problems, and I'd say, well, let's pray about it. And they'd look at me and say, well, I already did that, and it didn't work. It didn't help. And what they were saying was, well, now what do I do? And I think a lot of us, when we pray, we wonder, did the signal get through? It's kind of like when you text somebody and then you see the three little dots pop up like they're texting you back, and then it just goes blank and you get nothing. I think a lot of us have felt that way with God of, you know, did I not do it right? Am I supposed to do something next? Am I supposed to say some Hail Marys or Our Fathers or, you know, call a pastor, or get on my knees? Because it feels like nobody's listening.
Well, and that's, I think everybody can relate to that. And, you know, there's obviously sometimes we start to question, maybe we didn't say it right. And you shared this great example from an old classic movie that I like, and I think a lot of our listeners can relate to, A Few Good Men. Talk about that example.
Yeah, I love that movie, first of all. And I always feel like it just came out a few years ago. It's been like 30 years now. But, you know, this movie where you've got this this old, you know, kind of Marine colonel by the name of Nathan Jessup, who's played by Jack Nicholson. And Tom Cruise has to go to him and ask for some papers. And Nicholson is just cagey and mean. And he says, well, okay, I'll give you your papers, but you have to ask me nicely. And Cruise looks at him like, are you kidding me? You know, we're grown men. And then he goes on this tirade about, I need and deserve respect. And then finally, Cruise says, okay, please. And I sometimes I wonder, and I think our listeners wonder sometimes too, if when they get done praying and nothing happens right away, if it's because we didn't ask nicely, we didn't say the right words. Are there some magic words for prayer? Do we have to say please or pretty please or beg or fall on our face? What does it mean to really get God's attention?
Well, I think so many people can relate to that. And, you know, you asked a question in your book, you know, what do we do while we're waiting for God to answer our prayers? And you shared some great insight, I thought, from a passage that a lot of people are familiar with, but I really hadn't heard it taught that way, and the insight that you shared about the conversation between Jesus and his mother when he performed the first miracle that he did at a wedding.
Yeah, it's a really funny passage because, you know, Jesus at this point, no one really knows who he is. And if your listeners have not watched the miniseries The Chosen, well, I highly recommend that. You can get it on YouTube now, but it's 8 episodes about the life of the disciples. And in one of the episodes, they show this wedding at Cana where all this takes place, and I thought they did it so well. And, you know, Mary comes to Jesus when they've discovered that the wedding party has run out of wine, which, you know, would have been a tragic thing back then. In fact, some experts say it could have even resulted in a lawsuit. And she goes to Jesus looking for a little help, and he says, woman, what is that to me? And I've always wondered how that looked. I mean, I think you and I both would say that if we said that to our moms, things would not go well.
Not at all.
Jesus says this to his mom, and you know she doesn't. It really is. It's her question to Jesus is the very first prayer to Jesus, and Jesus basically tells her no, and yet she doesn't give up. She doesn't even ask a second time. She begins to work. And what she does is she turns to the servant standing there, and she just says, do whatever he tells you to do. And I love that passage because I think for a lot of us, when it comes to praying, we pray once, and then we just assume if nothing happens immediately that God didn't hear us or God isn't going to give us what we want, and we give up, when really there's some work to be done. And she looks at the servants and she says, do whatever he tells you to do. And in a little bit, Jesus looks at the servants and says, take those 6 jars, which would have been pretty large, and hold like 30 gallons, and go and fill them up. Now, what's fascinating to me about that is you or I would just go out and, you know, put the hose in them or put them under the faucet. But back then, they would have had to walk those down to the river and fill them up and carry them back. Now they weigh about 300 pounds. And this is all on a hot day, well dressed for a wedding. And they got to go down there and fill these things up and bring them back, fill them up and bring them back. And they had to do this 6 times because there's 6 jars. And it wasn't until the jars were full that the water turned to wine. And I think for a lot of us, we might only be on our 3rd trip to the river when it comes to our prayers. And God is just waiting for us to keep working while we wait. And oftentimes it's while we're working that the miracles catch up with us.
Well, just so just so resonated with me that, you know, that we can still be doing things while we're waiting. And yet, I think a lot of times the enemy kind of likes to do the old paralysis by analysis. Have you found that to be true in your life, too, sometimes?
Yeah, absolutely. And, Greg, truthfully, and I'm not just saying this because you're the host, but I've seen you live this out so much in your life through any kind of difficulty you've been through. I think about the grocery store in Cynthiana and the flood. It would have been really easy just to sit back and say, well, that's over with. But you just kept working and working and working to make that thing right. And then in every chapter of your life, I mean, there is basically one knee on the ground and the other knee up and working, so to speak. And that's kind of a poor metaphor. But the idea is that you are praying, but you are working. And I think certainly in our day and age, in our culture, and certainly even with COVID going on that a lot of us have been living through, this season that we're in, the tendency is I prayed about it, and I'm going to sit at home and wait for God to fix it. And while he's not, then I'm just going to blast everybody on social media as to what they should be doing. And that's just the wrong kind of work to be doing. The kind of work we could be doing is with our friends and family and neighbors and through our local churches and nonprofits and serving people and seeing how God shows up along the way. It's kind of like what Mother Teresa always said, if you want to end hunger, feed one person. And if everybody did that, we end hunger. But mostly we just sit around and wait for someone else to do it, namely God.
Well, one of my favorite Bible verses that I learned through the flood and subsequent down the road, bankruptcy, divorce, all those things I went through, which was why I started Hope Is Here, is that Bible verse I read in Proverbs says, those who refresh others will themselves be refreshed. And sometimes when we're waiting on an answer to prayer, we don't feel like helping others or blessing others. But actually, when we do that, that Bible verse I found to come true in my life. And have you found that to be true in your life, too?
Oh, yeah, definitely. There's a principle that we learn in the strangest of places, and that is that the reason people like horror movies is because they like to see people in worse situations than they're in.
Yeah, exactly.
You think about that. You go down to watch a movie and see some kind of slasher film, and you really just want to know, oh, they got it worse than I do. And there's a principle behind that, and that is we all want to know that there's somebody that's got it worse than we do. But yet when you refresh other people, you have found people that have it worse than you do. And so in some strange way, it does more than just make you think, boy, glad I'm not them. But you help them in that process, and it helps you in the same way.
Just tuned in. We're talking with Pastor Rusty George. Rusty used to be on staff at South and Christian. In fact, he's the guy that started the 608 service, and a lot of you probably attended that have listened. But he's also an author of several books, and his latest is a book called After Amen, What to Do When You're Waiting on God. And just got done reading it recently. I was really blessed by it. I know that you would be too. Rusty, if people want to get a copy of this book, what's the easiest way to do that?
Well, the easiest way to do it is just go to afteramenbook.com. They can grab it there. You can get it through Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and all those kind of places. But it's cheaper on afteramenbook.com because we're able to give you kind of a discounted rate. And even for any of your church leaders listening, we have bundle opportunities where you buy so many books, and we'll give you the price is like half price by then, and we'll even send you 9 message manuscripts you can use for teaching, and you don't even have to give me credit. And we'll give you some small group videos you can use as well, whether it's in person or on Zoom. And it's kind of plug and play for a church leader that needs about 9 weeks to regather themselves from all the craziness of the past few months.
Well, I definitely encourage you to check it out. We're out of time today, but Rusty's going to be with us for one more program, so I hope you'll join us again tomorrow as we continue to talk with Rusty George about his outstanding new book, After Amen.
Are you allergic to gluten and struggle to find good-tasting gluten-free food in Central Kentucky? Well, I've got great news. Gluten-Free Miracles Healthy Bakery and Cafe is locally owned and located conveniently in Lexington, off Nicholasville Road, right behind Jeff's Car Wash. Everything is made from scratch and gluten-free. They also have options for those on the paleo, keto, and vegan lifestyles. And for pumpkin lovers, they have their seasonal items out now. For more information, you can check them out online at glutenfreemiracles.com. That's glutenfreemiracles.com.